Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Ah, well, it's not Andy, you see. It's John Moss. Fast Mai, Thursday, September the 16th. Another day closer to the election. I can also tell you that the weather's on its way. The travel, the traffic, the sport. Today, the UK is offering 12 to 15-year-olds the jab. Well, so are we. Majorca, here I come. Direct flights to Majorca. As Liverpool Airport eases life for Manx travellers, is Dominic Raab the right man to take charge of this island? A conservation group backs knocking down an historic hotel. And watching the electors, a group from the Commonwealth will be keeping tabs. Why? This evening our election debate is on in Onchan, incidentally. Chaired by the irrepressible Andy Wint. Let's have some news now.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And for that purpose, William King has joined us. Good evening, William.
Fast Mai. The number of active COVID-19 cases on the island has fallen by 11 in 24 hours. It currently stands at 204. There are two people in hospital with the virus. Children on the Isle of Man aged between 12 and 15 will be offered a COVID-19 vaccine. Government has confirmed it's following the UK's decision to offer one Pfizer injection. Visits to the Isle of Man prison have now resumed. They had been temporarily suspended in early August after five COVID-19 cases were discovered at the Jerby facility. In international news, the Scottish government asked for support from the military to deal with pressures in its ambulance service. It's understood Northern Ireland has also requested help from the Ministry of Defence personnel in signs the UK NHS is again starting to become overwhelmed because of the virus. Meanwhile, a maternity support worker has been one of the first people in the UK to receive a COVID-19 booster jab. The next phase of the vaccine rollout is officially underway. And there's been another warning from a supermarket that we could be expecting to pay higher prices over the coming weeks and months. The Co-op says it's because of supply chain issues, including lorry driver shortages. Those are your headlines, news in full at 6.
William, thank you.
Book your place at the Isle of Man e-gaming seminar, supported by Man Benham, at iomegs.online. Manx Radio Weather, with Manx Glass and Glazing.
We're told this evening and tonight cloudy, the threat of a little light rain or drizzle for a time, not amounting to too much. The south to southwest wind becoming fresh to strong, minimum 13 Celsius. Dry at first tomorrow, fairly cloudy. Cloud thickening and lowering to bring some outbreaks of rain during the afternoon and evening. Saturday will be mostly dry but often cloudy with a chance of an isolated shower, but also some bright or perhaps sunny spells. Sunrise tomorrow is 6:54, sunset 7:33 today, and there is a strong wind warning in operation.
If you're looking for supply-only windows and doors, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate or call 674-573.
We'll have the COVID numbers for you in just a moment, but children aged between 12 and 15 on the island are to be offered a COVID-19 vaccine. Government has now confirmed it's following the UK's decision to offer one Pfizer injection. Jackie Dunn is from Public Health.
Now there's a lot more evidence come in to suggest that it is safe for 12 to 15-year-olds. So JCVI made a recommendation based on the 12 to 15-year-olds, and then the chief medical officers in the four nations, England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, have reviewed the evidence that they gave further and looked at things like the public health aspects of it, the educational aspects of it and reducing problems with not being able to go to school and taking into account things like mental health. But obviously, I mean, we've been affected by COVID, obviously, but I think in other parts of the United Kingdom or the British Isles, potentially school has been closed a lot more than it has been here and they've missed out. So so now it's being offered to 12 to 15-year-olds. And I think that Manx Care in the process of planning all that. So there'll be more to come out for those people who want to take up the offer.
Parents will have to give consent for their child to get this jab, and some might be listening to this and weighing up the pros and cons in terms of health and reducing transmission. What would you say? Do you think it's worthwhile?
It's going to be down to individual parents, really, to sort of make that, sorry, every child and parents or carers, to have that discussion with them. It's not a mandatory thing. Nobody's saying that anybody has to have this vaccination. It's really down to people to weigh up the pros and cons, as it were, for themselves and to look at whether it's something that they want to get done. But it's being offered, and it wouldn't be being offered if it wasn't something that people thought was an important thing to offer. So it's great that we've got that offer there for people to take up.
Interesting development. Now, the number of active cases of COVID-9 on the island has fallen by 11 in 24 hours, currently standing at 204. There are two in Nobles with COVID-19, three fewer than yesterday. No one, we're told, is in intensive care. The government's dashboard says 25 new cases have been identified in the last 24 hours. Coronavirus booster vaccines are set to be rolled out in the next few weeks. The jabs will be offered to all adults over 50 and those aged 16 and older with underlying health conditions, which puts them at risk of serious illness from COVID-19. Here's Lewis.
It also applies to frontline health and care workers, care home residents, and those who live with somebody who is immunosuppressed. It follows advice issued by the Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, accepted by the UK government, that extra doses should be given ahead of the winter flu season. The JCVI also advises flu jabs be given at the same time. The booster rollout will follow a similar order to the initial rollout of jabs earlier this year, starting with healthcare workers. Government says it's important the booster is given at least 6 months after the second vaccination, so anyone eligible for a booster but who had their second dose within that time will be invited for the extra jab once 6 months has passed.
So you have your booster, you feel all vaccinated up. What do you want to do? Well, you want to go on holiday, don't you? Summer may be swiftly coming to an end, but locals now have something to look forward to next year. Fly Direct is offering direct flights, clue is in the name, I suppose, from the Isle of Man to Mallorca. Robert McKenzie is the managing director of CI Travel Group.
What we found is that the demand for these flights has been greater than ever this year. I think as people want to avoid the difficulties and stress of travelling through a UK airport such as Gatwick or Manchester by flying direct, it's a lot less stressful and it's a whole easier and quicker process, of course. But we're obviously absolutely delighted in 2022 to be able to extend the service from the Isle of Man. We're obviously hopeful and believe that the same demand levels, we'll see the same demand levels from the Isle of Man as we have from Jersey this year.
And I know this is only going to be available for a set amount of time. It's not going to be all year round. So could you just give me some more information on the dates people will be able to use this flight?
Yeah, so flights will operate from the Isle of Man from the beginning of June, the 4th of June, and it will run every week, flying every Saturday between the 4th of June and the middle of September, the 17th of September. As I say, flights will operate every week.
And are you hoping to keep this route going forward if booking numbers are successful next summer?
Yeah, absolutely. We believe that there are opportunities to provide other destinations from the Isle of Man. The appetite to be able to get on a flight in Rolls-Way and step off it between 2 and 3 hours later in the Mediterranean sunshine is something that is going to appeal hugely to islanders. And we're looking forward, assuming that this is well supported in 2022, to expanding that program in the future.
That's Robert McKenzie, Managing Director of CI Travel Group. Well, you want to go on holiday, but travelling through airports is a little difficult at the moment, isn't it? Well, holidays could be made easier for Manx travellers transiting through Liverpool. John Lennon Airport has become the first in Britain to introduce a 3-hour COVID-19 testing facility. MD at the Test Assurance Group, Cliff Kirby, believes it could be a game changer for Manx residents.
Our standard offer is 99, and then if there's an emergency service, it's 175. Now, we are in conversations with airlines as well, and it's interesting you mentioned about the Isle of Man, because it's quite close to this conversation, of actually packaging, testing packages for people who are using Liverpool as a connection. The conversations we've got ongoing are actually about the visitor economy and putting through a package for an entire group of tourists who are visiting for an event. So there is a number of opportunities around us when we're considering a greater population set arriving in one place at one time.
And Russian Heritage Trust has backed plans to knock down a former hotel in Port St. Mary. Work could begin later this month to redevelop the 1920s Bay Queen. It used to be the Bay Queen Hydro years ago. I stayed in it when I was 13. Into new apartments. It was purchased for $4 million by Hartford Homes in 2007, falling then into a state of disrepair. Hugh Davison from the Trust supports the proposals, saying the site had become an eyesore.
That particular site has been empty of activity since the early to mid-1980s, 35 years plus in tough weathers in the winter, and there's nothing we like less than rotting and deteriorating buildings, particularly on flagship sites.
We've got a number of buildings in similar situations, old landmark or iconic buildings falling into a state of disrepair. They're left there to waste away before ultimately it seems being sold to developers to turn into flats or apartment blocks.
That's right. I mean, I think we've got to be realistic about the tourism business and the predominance of apartments over hotels. But I think in the particular case of the Bay Queen, or as it used to be the Balaquini, the approach is correct, and I and my colleagues strongly support it. I have an emotional interest in this particular building because it was the first major job my father, Alec Davidson, did in 1935, and he did the Art Deco section, which is still standing with the Twin Towers.
What would you say to those people, though, who, like you, have an emotional attachment to the Bay Queen? They may not support the plans, though, and they may feel that these heritage buildings should be preserved, maintained, and saved from demolition.
Fine. Well, who's going to do it and fund it? If they're going to do that, they should come forward. But we need practical solutions, not theoretical ones, because if you go for the perfect, and as I say, we're happy with the Balqueen. We're not happy with many of the new buildings, but we're happy with this particular one. But if you go for the perfect, you end up with an empty site.
Hugh Davison.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio. Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben is due to berth at 6. Can't quite see her yet, but she is on her way. All is well. No issues. It is, as you might say, a plain sailing.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Let's turn our attention now to business.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Upskilling, reskilling, and improving digital literacy. They're underway. Readiness is working with the government to offer 300 people the opportunity to improve their digital confidence for free. Lorna Trevethan is from the training provider and says it's not targeted at a specific age group.
The schools are, you know, very academically driven, which is their purpose, but some students are coming out and going into the workplace and their first jobs at 18, and they don't understand how to pull a Word document together or a PowerPoint document or use Excel. We make an assumption that young people, because they've grown up in tech and with digital stuff all around them, they understand how to use it. And actually, we don't use a vast amount of the applications within these applications to do our work more efficiently. So that's the whole point of it, really, is just to give people that confidence and that skill and build on that. And actually, you know, some people may not have done any learning, say the older generation may not have done any learning since they left school at 16 or 18. And actually, if they want to progress, you know, working longer and having a varied career, it's might actually inspire them to actually want to undertake even further training, either in a technical role or actually just go and learn something new. But again, a lot of the learning that you now do is all online.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Let's have a look at what's happening in Europe and the UK. Stocks there finished higher. Global investors kept an eye on economic data and central banks. US stocks fell after recurring fears of a slowdown both in the US and China. Oil prices slipped after a larger than expected drawdown in crude oil stocks in the United States, the world's largest oil consumer, of course. Gold priced lower. Now the markets, the FTSE 100 was up 0.16, 7,027. The FTSE 250 up 0.85 at 23,632, and the DAX up 0.23 at 15,651. Dow Jones down 0.59%, and the NASDAQ off 0.53 at 15,080.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krikor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171. Or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631 or email update@manxradio.com.
One constituency which is guaranteed two MHKs in the next House of Keys election is Middle. Both Howard Quayle and Bill Shimmins are not standing. David Fowler, Kieran Hannifin, Alison Lynch, Stu Peters and Jane Poole Wilson, MLC, all went head-to-head in Manx Radio's election debate programme, which was held last night. Local Democracy reporter Chris Cave has more.
When voters head to the polls a week today, they'll be making their decision on a mix of local and national issues. Climate change, the Afghanistan situation, housing and education all featured in last night's debate in Middle. The size of government was also discussed when an audience member asked if those found to be incompetent should be sacked. Kieran Hannifin was keen for regular appraisals.
We talk about cutting size of government all the time. Unless you're wanting to pay a huge bill that's going to be like a pension bill, those redundancy pay packages across hundreds of people at a time is going to be a lot. There definitely should be performance reviews, though.
Alison Lynch.
What's so different about the public sector than the private sector? You know, if something was to go horrendously wrong in a private sector, you would be shown the door. Why should it be so different?
Stu
Why?
Peters.
The civil service is there for life, usually, and I see that as the biggest problem. What we need is to give targets, key performance indicators, to people from the chief executive down. And if they don't achieve those targets, then it's time for a bit of a tough word.
Jane Poole Wilson.
One of the things that's absent for me is absolute clarity about what the business plan is, what the targets are, and then how we're going to account and measure progress. Because it should be much, much easier to assess how people are doing, particularly our leaders, against what is being projected.
David Fowler.
I'm disgusted with our government. You know, 5 years ago, they were all saying we want a smaller, smarter government. And what have we got? 500 more civil servants, a billion more in pension liabilities, and they're just going the wrong way.
This time next week, voting will be well underway to choose the next House of Keys.
Well, members of the first international body to independently observe the island's general election process have started work ahead of next Thursday's poll. Simon Richardson went to meet them.
The Commonwealth Parliamentary Association Election Observation Mission is here at the invitation of Tynwald. A report on their findings will be produced in due course. The mission's election coordinator is Fleur ten Hacken from the Netherlands. So what does her role entail?
I run all of the logistics. I help out with setting up meetings with stakeholders, and I'll be observing myself on election day as well.
Now, it's your first trip to the Isle of Man. It's the first trip of this kind of mission to the Isle of Man. How did it come about and why?
We are here because we were invited by Tynwald to observe this upcoming election. It's the first time, as you said, that we've been invited to do so. And we are very honoured to have been granted this opportunity to do this work. And what we are here to do is we will look at the electoral process in its entirety. So we'll be observing on polling day itself. But outside of that, we're also looking at the wider legal framework of elections in the Isle of Man and assessing it against international standards. And ultimately, after we've done our assessment, we will be making recommendations on how the process could be improved for future elections.
The mission's legal analyst is Delphine Blanchet from France.
I'm quite new to the job in the Crown Dependencies, but my work brought me to less exotic places in Africa or in the Middle East or in Southeast Asia. I observed in Commonwealth countries and in established democracies like in the US, in Canada, or in Italy, Bulgaria, Latvia. But here it's quite a unique system, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm very excited to do that job here.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
I'm bringing you sport today is Rhianne.
First of my good evening. Well, the hunt is on for more Manx archers. Isle of Man Archery wants to boost its numbers and is holding beginner courses to encourage people of all ages and abilities to give the sport a try. Established archer Rhys Moore recently returned from competing in the Commonwealth Archery Championships of Europe alongside an 8-strong Ireland squad. He says even if you sign up as a beginner, the sport will give people the opportunity to represent the Isle of Man at the next Ireland Games.
This is why we're asking for people if they're considering the idea of taking up a different sport or they're wanting to try something different or coming to the end of their career in their other sport, this is a really good time to get involved because 2 years' time, it lines yourself up to represent the island at Guernsey for the island, basically. Mm. And the range is experienced. So the team we took away this summer, the youngest member was 18 and the eldest was 71. So it's one of the sports that's fantastic in terms of your longevity.
And have you been waiting for an opportunity to take up badminton? If so, wait no more. Sue Domingo has space at a number of her after-school clubs. There's a variety of sessions to choose from for children in years 1 through to high school. And you get a free trial week if you're interested. A full list of the sessions which still have places available and how to get in touch to sign up can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page.
Rhianne, thank you. Well, from sport to travel.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there are three places that are causing quite big hold-ups around about Douglas. There's the Brown Bobby, of course. That's on until the 5th of November. Sewer connection work. Delays there. Outside the nunnery, they're still working on that. They should be finished fairly shortly, but it is causing quite big delays when it's in operation in the morning. Ballasalla's going on till the 16th of October. Cope Michael, temporary lights on the main road through the village for work on the pavements. And that's on until the end of this month.
The only electric and hybrid vehicle service centre with 24/7 charging points. Get more with Quayside. The Isle of Man general election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
It is exactly a week until the House of Keys general election. Let's hear our final candidate interview. Tim Crookle is standing in Glenfairbe and Peel. He's no stranger to politics, having been elected to the House of Keys before moving to Ledgeco. Beth Espy asked Mr. Crookle what he'd say to voters who might feel he'd abandoned them when he went to Ledgeco.
That was a choice I made at the time. I have no problem with that. And I thoroughly enjoyed my 5 years in Legislative Council. It just got to the stage where, sort of, I suppose, the last 3 or 4 months, for me, things were getting worse and worse with this government, and I wasn't happy seeing what was happening. And I had to make that decision. So although I put my papers in to stand for the Legislative Council, it was only really on the last 2 days when it actually became absolutely clear to me that it was absolutely the right thing to do, not go for re-election. If I'd have been successful, I would have stood down in July and stood because I just wasn't happy with what's been going on.
Well, what would you say to those people, though, who might think that you bailed on your constituency commitments by going up to Ledgeco before the end of your MHK term?
That's a hard question to answer. But I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, I was replaced very quickly by whoever came in after me. And it's not as though they were without. But one of the reasons I'm standing is because while I've been out and about for the last 15 months, I've still been doing an awful lot of work helping people. And that's one of the problems that I've had for the last 5 years as an MLC. I've been doing jobs which basically I've been told, because we've not allowed constituents, I've been told that by the Chief Minister, you MLCs don't have constituents, you're answerable to us. But at the end of the day, the people of the Isle of Man pay our wages. And if anybody comes to me with an issue, which there were lots of them, I would help them. But my issue was, why weren't they going to rail to Geoffrey?
You keep saying that you were disillusioned with the government when you were an MLC. It's something you say in your 2021 manifesto. I'm going to quote you here. You say by March last year, you had become disillusioned with the present government. But the reality is you were still part of the parliament. If things were so bad, why did you not use your position more effectively to challenge what you weren't happy about?
You try, but you get to the stage where when you have the Chief Minister and other senior ministers coming at you saying you don't have constituents, and also seeing, you know, what's happening in the area, in the constituency, you know, listening to people complaining, the best thing for me to do was just to stand right back, give it that break, and then put my name forward again, which I said at the time I was contemplating on doing, and just to stand forward, you know, put my name back in the hat this time around.
The other candidates standing in Glenfeber and Peel are Geoffrey Boot, Trevor Cowan, the Alamang Green Party's Leo Cousins, Ray Harmer, Mickey Lee and Kate Lord-Brennan.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio general election mini-site at manxradio.com. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Andy Wint will return tomorrow. Remember, the Cronkavodi Produce Show is still on until 7:30 when the prize presentation happens, followed by an auction of all the produce by Peter Quayle.
There's now just a week to go until the 2021 general election, and our live debate programmes continue tonight. From 7 o'clock, we'll be live at Ocean Views to question the candidate standing for Onken. An audience of voters will also join us to quiz the would-be MHKs. The podcast and video of the programme will also be available afterwards. Manx Radio's live constituency debates for the House of Keys general election on air and online at manxradio.com.
Well, that's update for Thursday evening. Andy will be back again tomorrow. I'll be with you on Monday and Tuesday. And those are the final two of our election debates in the evening, when Andy will be resuming full control of the Man in Line and update from Wednesday onwards. I've enjoyed my time here. Well, it's not quite over. Two more to go. Thank you very much for listening. This is available on a podcast, of course, so you can enjoy it again or enjoy it fresh for the first time. I'm John Moss. Very good evening.